appreciate you ladies and appreciate Pat through all his tribulation and persecution and difficulty. He did it. He got up here. I didn't know I needed to get a wheelchair out for him there for a little bit. But anyway, thank you so much. And I invite you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4 is where we will be. And by the way, the parade's going to be extra special this year because one of our own will be in it. I'm not talking about Micah, though Micah usually is in it. But Jim, are you still going to drive your car?
I'm going to drive.
And I forgot to go get a packet for you. So they're going to mail it? Oh, okay. I was going to say you're going to be illegal when you go. Anyway, Jim's plan to drive is his old 1939, is it? 1930 Ford through the parade. So, and there the old cars are right in front of the horses usually. So anyway, so that'll be great. We'll look forward to that. Okay, 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. And if you're able, I'd like to invite you to stand and follow along as I begin reading at verse 8, 2 Kings 4, verse 8 through 17. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Verse 10, Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this time, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage. I pray you'll bless it to our hearts. May we glean from it the truths that would be helpful to us. May we make application to our own life, that we would live in a way that pleases you and honors you, that we would be, like this woman, people of faith and trust and obedience, Lord. Thank you for this time together now. Bless our hearts, Lord, and speak to us. And give us joy in serving our Lord. And if there be any here this morning who know not Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day they call on your name to save them from their sin and to give them eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to depart again from our normal study on the providence of God, and we will get back to that, Lord willing, next week. But it is Mother's Day, so we wanted to talk about this mother, or mother-to-be. There are many beautiful narratives in the Bible of women and their faithfulness. Many times women that put the men to shame in light of their faithfulness. I think of the women at the tomb. They came to the tomb. Where were the men? And just beautiful, beautiful pictures of women of faith. So there's so many stories, narratives of women and their faithfulness, their love, their devotion, their hospitality, and they're being blessed by God because of that. Women like Sarah and Rachel, even Rahab the harlot, Ruth and Naomi, Esther, and others, and we see them serving and ministering. We see their humility and their faithfulness. And so we have one in our passage today. And what we have here fulfills, or is a fulfillment of Christ then in Matthew 10. You can turn there if you like. Keep your place in 2 Kings. But Matthew 10, I believe what we have here is a comment on what we see in this woman that ministered to Elisha. Matthew 10 and verse 40 through 42. Jesus said, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receive a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What we have in our passage before us of this great woman is her receiving of a prophet and the reward of a prophet. She received a prophet, Elisha, into her home, and then God blessed her with the reward of a prophet. So here's a story of a very wise and faithful woman and soon-to-be mother who was wise to receive a prophet and who was blessed then by that prophet. So again, 2 Kings 4, 8. First of all, let's look at the receiving of a prophet. The receiving of a prophet. Verse 8, "And it fell on a day that Elisha," of course Elisha had taken the mantle from the great prophet Elijah and was now the preacher and the miracle worker in Israel. Of course, the nation of Israel was going apostate. They were disobedient to God. They'd gone into idolatry. And God sent prophets to rebuke them, to try to get them to turn, to repent, and turn back to serving God. And thus, Elisha is on the scene following the great prophet Elijah. And of course, he performs about twice as many miracles as Elijah did that we read about in 1 Kings, beginning in chapter 17. So we have the receiving of a prophet. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem." Shunem is not too far from Megiddo. It's about 7 miles east of Megiddo in the valley of Jezreel, where the Battle of Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, Armageddon will take place there. And so it probably was a well-traveled area, many passers-by, because it was in that beautiful valley of Jezreel and near Megiddo. So anyway, he passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So again, Shunem, not far from Mount Carmel, and it was an area evidently where Elisha often traveled. And there was a great woman. Now, what does this mean? She was a great person. She was a great big person. I mean, that's what I first think of, a great woman. Wow, she must have been really big or something. Probably great in the sense of wealth. She was a great woman of substance. She had wealth, substance. She had servants, a farm, food for Elisha, and had the means by which she could build a room for Elisha. So that very well may be what the word great means here. Three things. She was great, number one, she was great in hospitality. She was great in hospitality. Verse 8, she constrained him to eat bread. She was like your grandma that doesn't let you go without feeding you dessert first, right? You are going to eat before you leave. That's what she was like. She was great in hospitality. She constrained him. She compelled him. My grandma on my mother's side, Grandma Lenneman, L-E-N-N-E-M-E-A-N-N, there's four N's in Lenneman, a good German name. Whenever we went to see Grandma when we went up to Nebraska, we didn't leave without getting something. Either homemade banana cream pie, homemade coconut pie, homemade caramel rolls. Oh, they make my mouth water just thinking about them. Nobody made rolls like Grandma. Roberta got real close. I don't know when the last time was she made them, but when we'd ask Grandma, "Grandma, what's your secret?" she'd say, "Crisco." Is that what she'd say? Crisco. Crisco. And we go, "What do you mean, Crisco?" "Well, you got to use Crisco or lard or whatever she used." Pillsbury, then. I don't know what she said. See, that's me. Anyway, I think she said Crisco. She used it. And then there are times we'd show up with the kids when our kids were little, and we'd be about ready to eat supper at Roberta's mother's house. But, well, let's go see Grandma Lineman first. So we'd go over there, be about 5 o'clock in the evening, and as soon as we walked in, she grabs the Hershey bars and gives all the kids a Hershey's chocolate bar. Sometimes they were giant ones, and the kids, of course, started eating them. We say, "Grandma, you're going to ruin their supper." "Oh, they'll be fine. They, you know, like they need them." She always had candy bars around to give out to the kids. So she was hospitable in that sense, and that's what this great woman was. She was great in hospitality. She compelled Elisha as he came by. She said, "Come on in and eat with us today." Now, Elisha evidently was slow to accept the invitation. In his humility, he didn't expect it. He didn't demand it. He didn't look for it. He didn't presume upon it, and yet he appreciated it. He had needs, even as Christ had not where to lay his head. And many showed Christ hospitality as he traveled, and they were blessed by him as they did. He waited on God, and God opened the heart of this great woman to care for God's man to receive a prophet. We are to be like this woman. We are to be given to hospitality. Look at Romans 12. Again, keep your place here. But Romans 12. You say, "Well, that's just not my cup of tea." Sorry. It needs to be. It needs to be. There's not a Christian here who should not be hospitable, who should not be welcoming of others. Romans 12:9. "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." It's always others, others, others. This great woman was looking to be a blessing to others. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Are you fervent in spirit today? Are you serving the Lord? Are you happy in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or I saw a woman on the news who was attacked by a guy, viciously attacked, but then she fought him off and he took off then. But she was sharing how traumatized she was from it, a lady in Wichita. And the way she put it is, she says, "I lost my happy. I lost my happy." And she was trying to get her happy back. Well, we can identify that sometimes, with that sometimes. But why have you lost your happy? Could it be because you are not walking with the Lord? You're not fervent in spirit. You're not walking close to the Lord. You're not in his word. You're not in prayer. And therefore, you're not fervent in spirit. And you've lost your happy. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." You and I are to be given. We're to give ourselves to being hospitable, kind, gracious, distribute, giving candy bars to people, preparing meals, taking people out. Be a blessing. We've got to learn to be a blessing. Verse 14, "So bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another." And so on. Condescend to men of low estate. But we get so wrapped up in ourselves, and, "Oh, I just don't have time. My house isn't clean. My house is a mess." Well, it's always a mess. Who cares? Who cares? We had friends, they're still good friends. We just never see them. In South Carolina, they were the most hospitable people we knew. To this day, they had people over all the time, and their house was always dirty and full of clutter. You know, it wasn't so bad you couldn't walk through it or anything, but it was homey. It was nice. It made you feel good because you realize, oh, at least their house isn't as clean as mine. I can do better than them. But they are a lot more hospitable than we were. They had everybody over. I thought, where did they find the strength to do that? And everybody loved them and felt loved by them. And you can be that way too. I can be that way. This woman was great because she was hospitable. In 1 Peter 4, 9, says, use hospitality one to another without grudging or without murmuring. Be hospitable one to another and don't do it grudgingly. Okay, we need to give ourselves to that. She was great because she took the initiative. She was sensitive to Elisha. She was on the lookout because as oft as he passed by, she looked for ways to do good, and she was the one who received the real blessing straight from heaven, as we'll see in verse 17. And you and I will be the ones that receive the blessing when we are given to hospitality, when we seek to meet the needs of others. Maybe it's phone calls, letters, visits, whatever way we can. Visiting people in the nursing home. I've known of people saying, well, I would never go to a nursing home. Well, I hope that happens to you then. But when you're in the nursing home, no one ever comes to see you. No, I don't really. But that's sad to have that way of thinking. We ought to be in the nursing home. We ought to go to the hospital. And I speak of myself as well. We need to do much more of that, looking for ways to do good and be a blessing, and we will receive the blessing. So he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 35 to 40, I'm just going to summarize what he said. I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And the people said, when did we see you hungry and fed thee, thirsty? And he said, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And of course, I know it's speaking of the tribulation period, of how the Gentiles treat the Jews, but it can be applicable to us today. When we treat others right, and when we're hospitable and gracious and try to meet the needs of others, we're doing it to Christ. We are serving Christ in that way. By the way, this woman's blessing and reward was immediate in the spiritual fellowship she and her husband would enjoy in sitting down at a meal together with this godly man named Elisha, the prophet. I mean, it would have been next to heaven to have him in your home. We need much more of this kind of fellowship. We need to quit our busyness and be ministering to others, whether they be in the church. I think we begin in our home and then in the church and then those outside the family of God. And we need to be here. We ought to be at fellowships. When we have fellowships, we have them for a purpose, is to be able to gather together and get to know each other, talk to each other, be a blessing to each other. So when we have meals together, fellowships together, be here. Don't stay home. Don't go home. Come here and join us. I think it's a very important part of our church ministry that you be here and minister to others and be a blessing, and you will be blessed as well. So this woman was great in hospitality. Secondly, she was great in spirituality. Great in spirituality or in spiritual discernment. Look at verse 9 back at 2 Kings 4. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. I perceive, I have a feeling, actually I know, she's saying, that this is a holy man of God. She didn't say, I believe this is a good man, or a charming man, or a nice man, or an educated man, though he may have been all of those. But what stood out to her was, he was a holy man. A holy man. Oh, to be recognized as being holy. Wow. Wow. That is better, so much better than to be known as smart, or rich, or famous or organized or having it all together. Better to be holy for God. Do people look at you as someone who is holy, someone who knows God and walks with God? That ought to be our goal. That ought to be what we strive for. Now, why did she recognize him as holy? The obvious reason might be the way he dressed. Maybe it's because he had Elijah's mantle on his shoulder yet as he was traveling. Or his traveling to and fro. She just recognized he's on a mission and preaching the word of God. And this is a holy man. She may no doubt have heard of his previous miracles. But maybe she saw him stop along the dusty road and kneel down to pray to his God. Or read God's word. Maybe it was the gentle kindness of his speech or the graciousness of his conduct. We're not told why she knew him to be holy. But it was probably not because he wore his collar backwards or had a dog collar on, as they're referred to. So she was great in her spirituality. Number three, she was great in generosity. Verse 10, great in generosity. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick, and it'll be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither. Let's make a little chamber. Their roofs were normally flat, and you can go up to the top of the house and enjoy the sunshine up there. And it may be there were walls that went up on the top, and it was the idea, let's make a little room here, an add-on next to this wall up on the rooftop. It would take some time and effort and money, and she didn't have to provide a lodging place, but she had a great heart. She was great in her generosity in receiving this prophet. Assuming she was well-to-do, she made very wise and unselfish use of her wealth. And that's the true secret of getting the most out of what God has blessed us with, is to use it to minister to others. Give it to God. Give it to God. Give, and it shall be given unto you, Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. She would indeed be blessed beyond measure, as we'll see in a little bit. Not only the miraculous gift of a son, but the miraculous raising of her son that would die to life again later on in this chapter. And her care of him would be constant. It wasn't a one-time deal. Not just once or twice. She was not weary in well-doing, and so she built him a little room, a prophet's chamber. That's where we get the term prophet's chamber. A lot of churches have maybe a house with a room in it, or a room in their church that they call a prophet's chamber, where a missionary or an evangelist can stay on their journey, on their way through, and appropriately named after this woman's prophet's chamber. We can do this in our home. We can have people over when we have a missionary or someone. We can say, hey, I'd like to have them to my house, or I'd like to take them out to eat, or I have a room they can stay. We don't all have that, but some of us do, and we can make that room available for others. We need to be given to hospitality and use our finances wisely. So again, keep your place here. I want to look at a few other verses. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. We need to give and give and give, don't we? We want to grab and grab and grab and hold on to and hold on to and hold on to. And the Bible teaches the blessing comes in giving. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If we'll honor the Lord in our giving, he will bless. We should give often, regularly, generously. I believe the Bible teaches we should tithe. We should give 10% of our income to the Lord. And then we can even give beyond that in other projects above and beyond our regular tithe and our regular giving. and we will know God's blessing. We also read Proverbs 22, verse 9, 22:9, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. This woman was great because she had a bountiful eye. She was looking for a way to be a blessing. We see a similar thought in Ecclesiastes. You go on to your right, Ecclesiastes 11 and verses 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Okay, I think of throwing breadcrumbs out on the water, and the ducks can eat it, and they'll be blessed, right? And then it'll come back to be a blessing to you. Actually, this may refer to sending your goods on a ship to go and invest in others, or as an investment, and it'll come back. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And then we won't turn there, but 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8 talks about generosity in giving. So the receiving of a prophet, this great woman was great in hospitality, spirituality, and generosity. And then secondly, we see the reward of a prophet in 2 Kings 4 and verse 11. 2 Kings 4:11. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. Elisha's gratitude for her loving and gracious hospitality. She didn't think that she, or he didn't feel he deserved it. Elisha didn't think he deserved her generosity, and so he has to do something for her. That's the way you and I are. It's the way we ought to be. I feel like I need to pay them back. Well, if they want to be a blessing, you don't have to pay them back. It was a gift, right? You know, someone sends you a gift, and then you send a thank you note. Well, you ought to do that. You ought to, you know, remember, I talked about this before. Remember the cards? You can still do it with a stamp. Some of you don't know what stamps are and all that. Well, you know, you can still do that. That's a wonderful thing to do. Or you can email. Or you can text. But sometimes we don't do any of this. Sometimes we forget. We forget. But so someone does something, you send a thank you. Then they send a thank you for your thank you. And then you say, well, that was a nice thank you for my thank you. I'm going to send another thank you. And it just goes, well, that would be wonderful to do that. But it gets a little bit redundant, I guess. When is it going to end? But we need to show gratitude. He has to do something for her. None of us are entitled to kindness. But when we receive kindness, we must show gratitude in practical, tangible ways. When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say in his evangelistic days. We need to show gratitude, especially to the Lord for his kindness to us. Be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. The Bible over and over repeats that. What could be done for her? She probably didn't have need of oil as he had provided for the woman early in that chapter. Probably didn't have a financial need. What to do for one who has everything, right? What do you do? What do you get mom? She has everything. Well, you can always do flowers or whatever. So, verse 13. And he said, Gehazi said unto Elisha, say now unto... Well, I'm sorry, I got the wrong way. Elisha said to Gehazi, say unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. You've taken care of us for all this care. What's to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken to the king or the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So Elisha is saying to this woman, do you want to be spoken for to the king or the captain of the host, the captain of the army, indicating, I can get you royal honors if you like. I will get you the Medal of Honor. Or I will get you dinner with the king. Do you and your husband want to have dinner with the king? Would you like to have dinner with Prince William, Duke of Cambridge, and Catherine, Duchess of Cambridge, and their little girl Charlotte at Buckingham Palace. I can arrange that, is sort of what he was saying. And Elijah was probably on pretty good terms with the king since his miraculous deliverance of Jehoram and Jehoshaphat, kings of the north and southern kingdoms, in their battle against the Moabites in the previous chapter. What will you say to an offer like that that's offered to this great woman? You want a sitting with the king? You want a word with the king or the captain of the host? Very few would have turned down an invitation like that. But what does she say? I dwell among my own people. What's she saying? I'm happy. I'm happy here. I'll stay here. This is where I belong. I'm happy. I'm content. I'm satisfied with what God has given me. I don't need anything more to make me happy. Wow. Oh, to be like this great woman. I think that's part of why she was great. She had a great faith, a great contentment, we might say. Indeed, we have a great woman here, and how well illustrated is the great truth, godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6. Oh, that we would be content and say, I am happy with my circumstances the way they are. The Lord tells us to abide in the calling by which we are called, I think in 1 Corinthians somewhere. Matthew Henry wrote back about 300 years ago, it would be well with many if they did but know when they are well off. It would be well with many if they but did know when they are well off. And so if we would just realize how well off we are in spite of all the difficulties, we would do well. Well, praise God, we also dwell among our own people. We're brothers and sisters, and many more need to be brought into our family. Well, verse 14, Elijah is saying, what can I do for her? He's determined that he's going to do something for her. And oh, that we wouldn't give up so quickly in finding a way to be a blessing or to give a blessing. What can I do for this person? Surely there's something I can do. And Gehazi says, she has no child. A great lack in the Old Testament days. But God knew all about it, and he allowed her to not be able to conceive and bear a child. And he can give grace for the need, the emptiness, the loneliness of which some of you have experienced. God is able to fill that. But she had a lack that Gehazi was aware of. She had everything, and yet she had a burden. She had a burden she was carrying. She was not able to have a child. And God always allows us to have some kind of burden to carry, doesn't he? Every one of us has a burden, has a cross to bear, some sorrow to experience in our earthly journey. And maybe it's to remind us that this life is not all there is. She has no child. Her husband's old. In other words, a miracle is needed here, Elisha. And so verse 16, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no way, my Lord, thou man of God, don't lie to thy handmaid. Elisha's going to speak on her behalf, not before the king, not before the royal court of Israel, but before the court of heaven. He's going to take her case straight to God, straight to heaven. He will take the need to God himself, and the answer will come on the wings of angels. How much better to be spoken for before the King of heaven than to before any king upon earth. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet receives a prophet's reward. Here's her reward, right? She didn't show generosity for a reward. It was her duty. It's just what she did, the way she was. She wasn't looking to have a child. She wanted one, but I think she'd given up on that long ago. But God will now reward her for her faith and her unselfishness and her labor of love, and he will you as well. He will you as well. And the reward, verse 17, she bare a son. She bare a son. The God of Sarah The God of Hannah still lives. The God of Israel's deliverance. The God of Daniel's deliverance. The God of the deliverance through the fiery furnace is still God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will and can deliver and meet your need today. Hebrews 13:8. If we would only believe, only trust, we too would see the glory of God in our lives, and we would glorify God. And it happened exactly as Elisha said. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares." Be entertaining, be hospitable. You never know what blessing you are in for. For you and me, the reward, the blessing, the joy may not come at the time and in the way we had hoped for, but it will come in a way that's good and right and best, and will usually be exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. God's power, which causes those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:17, will do marvels for us if we only have faith to receive and believe his promise. She was a great woman. A great woman with a great heart and a great faith, rewarded by a great God. She was, might we say, a virtuous woman that we read about in Proverbs 31, an excellent woman. I close with this poem written by someone, I don't know who. "A woman of excellence is what I long to be." By the way, men, put men in there as well. "A woman of excellence is what I long to be, filled with your godly wisdom, so it is part of me. A woman of integrity, no matter what I face, standing up for righteousness and for your saving grace. A woman of destiny, living out your plan, knowing where you'd have me walk, being guided by your hand. A woman of promise, standing on your word, holding on to all the truths while carrying out your work. A woman of compassion for the ones in the dark, those that do not know your love and have darkness in their hearts. A woman that will never compromise the faith with what the world may offer, but will keep the narrow way. A woman who loves Jesus and will only follow him, gladly to give up the world so his light can shine within. Lord, this is my earnest prayer as a daughter by your grace. Grow in me these qualities as I walk with you in faith." May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage, this wonderful story of the woman of faith, the woman of love and devotion, of discernment, who wanted to honor the man of God and thus was honored and blessed by God. We pray, Lord, that we can be like this woman, walk with you and know your blessing as she did. Thank you, Father, for your meeting our every need. May we indeed walk with you in contentment and joy and rejoicing. Bless now as we close. May we give our hearts to you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.